Okay, well, Chuck, I'll let you open this up with a word of prayer, okay?
Okay. Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for this day. Thank you for the sun and the warmth that it brings us. And thank you for the safety you gave us on our way here so that we may open your word and learn from it and share it as we leave this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, let's take a look at Romans 15:13, and let's all read it together. Powerful, powerful verse here. And if you understand, every verse of the Word of God is powerful. And the Bible would not be complete with all the verses that are in it. So if you have a Bible that has a line drawn where a verse ought to be, you do not have the Word of God. Do not have the Word of God. Let's take a look, and let's start with verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen and amen. As we get started here, look at the very first word, now. We're talking right here at 10:10 on May 2nd here at BBF, Ohio. Now. And hopefully, if there's anyone else listening, wherever they're at, whatever time zone that they're in. Now, we're not talking about tomorrow. We're not talking about the last hour. Now, we're not talking about the future. We are not talking about the lunch, hopefully. If the rapture comes, guys, 11:59, I'll be just a tickle pink, okay? We'll be out here. Somebody else, because it's going to have to be able to consume the food. It won't be me, because I'll have the heavenly manners we're going up.
Amen.
That's what I'm looking forward to. Now, notice. Now, the God of hope. We need to get into sharing with you what hope means. But I wanted to give you a quick current event on why we need hope. The things I'm going to share with you was never true during the time I was growing up. America was America. And in the last few years, all the cockroaches have come out. Every single one of them has come out. And what we would call the American dream is just about wiped out. This weekend, I just finished up a new track called The American Dream. And it's very powerful. And it's very educational. And I hope within a week.
Bible verses in it.
Oh, lots of Bible verses.
just
believe it or not, you may not think it's possible, but it's actually a gun control gospel track. But you don't find out about it until towards the end.
It's a light commercial.
Yeah, but we even have, due to Pastor Miller's influence, the quote where Christ said, go and buy a sword. So that's in there. We got that in there. We got that one nailed down.
All right?
Let's take a look at a couple of quick items. When I was younger, I loved pro football. I used to watch pro football. I was unsaved at the time, but I'd watch it when it came on at 1 in the afternoon. I'd watch the game at 3 or 4 o'clock. I'd watch the other game that came on at 8. All right? I'd watch Monday night football. And when they had Thursday night football, I'd be watching that. Today, pro football has gone to Satanism. They've been promoting Satanism for about the last 6 or 7 years. Okay, pro basketball. I have watched a little bit of pro basketball down through the years. But this past year, pro basketball has gone communism. They have defended communism. That's not American. Okay, pro baseball. I love pro baseball. Guys, I've got the Cincinnati Reds, a little bat there, you know, and I got the pennant. I also like the Pittsburgh Pirates. I like the Cleveland Indians. I've seen baseball at all three of the stadiums.
Indigenous people, Cleveland.
The team once known as the Indians.
Yeah. The Indians.
We're not allowed to.
Real quick fork on the Indians. They had this great losing streak. And they were playing the Texas Rangers. I was there in the stadium. It went up to the 15th or 16th inning, and the Indians had the bases loaded, and Rico Cardi let himself get hit in the back so he could walk in the winning room. Yeah, incredible. Okay, but what do we know about Major League Baseball? They're now political left, and they're exerting their dollars to go political left in this country. NCAA. Good night, guys. They can't tell the difference between a man and a woman. They have told all their schools, if a man wants to be a girl, then he's allowed to play in all the girls' sports.
And beat up on the girls.
Yeah, probably. Now, there are some girls, and I'd have to warn you guys, there are some girls out there that can beat up guys. Not many, but there are some out there, and wait till they start coming in. It's going to be a horrible mess. But the insulated, they're stupid. They don't know. They cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand. Okay? Colleges. They've been teaching socialism for how many years now? They're against the American Constitution, against the Bill of Rights, and they're over 45% believe in communism now. There's something wrong with that picture. All right? Fake news. Now, this happened just the last couple of weeks, guys. There's over 80 million people that voted a certain way during the election. And on two different news broadcasts, the one broadcast said, the group that believed that way are terrorists to our country. Because they believe in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, and they have compounds. They are terrorists, which is a baloney. The other group came on from an FBI guy and said, that group is a cult. A cult. Now, guys, they're propping the American people up for something awful. That is bad reporting. That's not news. That is totally fake. In the movies, there's a guy that I liked in the past called Captain America. Came out around 1940, and for 80 years represented the values of America. And now they have a new Captain America out, and he represents the New World Order.
Captive America.
That's not even American. But they're now promoting the guy who's setting up the new world. Who's setting up the new world order? And then we just found out last night that Disney is producing another movie called Frozen, number 3, and the main character is going to be lesbian. For kids, shame on Disney. Shame. I'm praying for their downfall. Goliath fell. I'm praying for Disney's failure. That is awful. Guys, that's awful. Who is going to stop them from doing it? Who? And who knows what direction these guys are going in? And then, just for food for thought, so we can still be friends, if you take the numerical value of COVID, it comes out to 606. And if you know anything all about history, in 606 is when the Babylonians came in and wiped out Israel. And they have not had a king on the throne since. We'll just call that food for thought. I'm going to be a bit surprised with the connection. There's something awful going on. We are living in a time frame. We need the God of hope. We need hope for all the craziness that's going around. And we could go on with all the crazy stuff that's going on. Now, let's see. I'd like to show you 3 verses that deal with hopelessness. Okay, I need to have someone take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:19. I need someone to find Romans 8:24. And I need someone to have Acts 7:20.
I got the first one.
You got the first one?
What was the second one?
Second one is Romans 8:24.
8:24.
I got Acts 7:20.
You got Acts 27:20? Excellent. Okay, well, we'll start right here then, please.
1 Corinthians 15:19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Most miserable. Now, guys, even though you see the name Christ in there, what Paul is writing about is that this Christ did not raise again from the dead. What is hopelessness? Is when you place your faith and trust in a person and not in the Savior. And by the way, there are 3 Jesuses in the Bible. One of them does absolutely nothing. The other one's the Antichrist. The other one's the Savior. You place your faith in any man on this planet, you're going to be miserable. All right? Don't place your faith in me, because I'll make you miserable. Not intentionally, okay? Not intentionally. But every single one of us has flaws. Every single one of us somewhere down the road has bitten off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which makes us self-righteous. And unless we discern from the Word of God, we'll go around judging everybody else around. All right? The one church that Jill was going to, the ladies were forbidden to wear dresses, or pants. Forbidden to wear pants. They had to wear dresses. All right? Now, guys, when we get into that, that's
legalism.
Yeah, it's a form of legalism. It's there's another verse we'll get back to later on down in here. But then they had all sorts of standards. I went into another church, and every single guy had their haircut a certain way. They all wore white shirts and a tie and had a gun on the side. All right? There's certain standards. And guys, my job and goal with you is to help put the Word of God in your heart, and then God will discern with you on the cleaning up. And then you'll have His righteousness. When I put my righteousness on you, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. The reason America is failing is because so many pastors out there are putting their form of righteousness on the people. And so instead of thinking and praising the Lord, they're now abiding by a standard. So when they come into the presence of the church, it's not the presence of the Lord. It's in the presence of the pastor. And now they find out if they come to the presence of the pastor, they don't even have to think anymore. They don't have to pray anymore.
Yeah.
You guys need to be free in order to call upon God and have His righteousness. And guys, the first church that I was a member of, I believe it or not, I had hair down to here. All right, good night. Not a single person said a word to me. But I noticed in the group, no one else had long hair like that except the ladies. Within a couple weeks, I had my hair cut, and I've had a cut ever since. Not just because they had their hair cut, because I read in the scripture that says a man's hair ought to be short. My standard comes from the Lord. Now, when I see other men with long hair, I try very careful not to be judgmental. Because until they have the Word of God in their hearts, they're not going to change. They're just going to fight. They're going to just want to argue.
Another thing, though, is the definition of long was influenced by who you were surrounded by.
Correct.
If you'd been surrounded by John Wesley, you would have kept your hair.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
By the definition. So, long is like Jennings.
Yes.
I mean, in biblical terms, long hair on a woman was long and flowing. Is that
correct?
Right? But it's just been a strange thing because, you know, when I first got saved, a lot of churches were just starting to come out of their hang-ups about this stuff. Fundamental churches, I mean. And I've mentioned this before, but we were watching last week a man I respect, Peter Rokeman. And he was talking about how he doesn't allow anybody that goes to his school to have a beard. And he says, not that it's a sin to have a beard, but he says, I have a question for you. Who are you trying to look like? And I thought, you know, only somebody, a fundamentalist, would think like that.
Yeah.
Because who am I trying to look like? A man. I just want to be a man.
Jesus had a beard, amen.
And I say all of our heroes, whether it's in the prophets in the Old Testament, they mention the beards.
Oh yeah.
And then you look at all the heroes throughout church history, they all have beards. And so it was just kind of funny to me to look at the history of the last 100 years that we had some good ministries preaching the gospel, but I think they hurt themselves. By fighting tooth and nail to make their own rules.
Yeah.
And they drove a lot of people crazy with this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, they drove a lot of people off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the first church I was at.
Back in the olden days, they said about you have to wear, have that white wall haircut, and if it gets over your ear, then you're, you know, they got real weird.
They didn't get that from the Bible, they got it from the military.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, the military is fine. You want to be in the military, you have to obey their rules, but that's not my
that's
the
Word
of God.
Yeah. The first church I was at, the pastor there said no beards. And so he had a library, you know, like this over here. And so I took him over to the library one day and I said, look here, Charles Spurgeon, beard. Dale Moody, beard. And we started going through all the guys. He was speechless. He was speechless. And then when I talked to his wife about Jesus having a beard, She said, oh no, he had stubble. I said, so how did they pull the stubble out?
They must have had a nail.
I mean, they're just, we're coming to a point, guys, we can't think anymore. This past week, I was looking at the time frame when Israel was kicked out of the promised land for 70 years. You realize God wrote 9 books during that time frame?
Wow.
9. We think he just kicked the Israel out and he didn't do a whole lot. No, he wrote 9 books. Fascinating. Fascinating. I think that's just incredible. Now, who's got Romans 8:24?
Romans 8:24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for?
Yeah. Okay.
See, I didn't say that. To me, is the best verse to use when you try. Because a lot of people, when you say something about, I have hope in God, they have this idea of kind of like a hope, like a just a baseless hope. And all it means is we have confidence in something we can't see.
Right? Yeah.
That we know that we're going to be resurrected, but it's a hope because we haven't seen it yet. That's all it means.
Just so you know, I'm looking at the clock here because some of it's good material to share with you. What we're trying to aim at here in this verse, Romans 15:13, is that our faith and our hope is based on the written word of God. That's where it's located. If you look very closely, it's connected to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost wrote the word of God. If you guys want hope, just open up your Bible and start reading. Johnny.
Okay, so I think this might be a very good question then. So what is the difference between faith and hope?
Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And it's different.
Hope is
more along the lines of the word confidence in what you can't see. It's faith is believing based on substance and evidence. Christianity is not a blind faith. We have substance and evidence for what we believe. But it's hope that it puts in us hope because of things that we are going to experience that we haven't yet.
Correct.
That we have full confidence in it. That's why I just add to what you're saying, John. It's not just reading the Bible. Because people read the Bible and they have
hope.
It's believing based on the substance and evidence. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you're reading the Bible and you believe it, it works in you and produces hope as an end result.
Amen.
And that's it's. I always say it. Get that in your head. It's hope is a confidence in things not yet seen. But it's not based on nothing. It's based on faith.
Okay. Who has Acts 27:20?
I got that.
Okay.
All right. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away.
Yeah. How about that? Guys, hope is not based in circumstances.
Right.
We keep looking for circumstances. We keep hoping circumstances will change and that'll change the end results, but that's not gonna happen. It can happen, but not the way we tried to design it for. There's certain relationships that are broken that I'm sure a lot of people would like to have those broken relationships repaired. But guys, that's circumstances. Only God can change circumstances. Only God can work when there's no sight. Only God can work through people, but our faith can't be in people. There was a church out in Kansas one time, and there's a certain guy that contributed, $100,000 every year into the offering, and he died. And the pastor said, well, looks like we'll have to go back to faith. Okay? He's operating by what he could see. We'll have to now go back to operating by faith. And you have to keep that in mind. Real quickly, though, as far as part of hope, in our hopelessness, God is the one who makes the way. There's a great song by the Inspirations that talks about God makes a way. Okay? Abraham and Sarah could not have children, but God made a way for them to have children. All right? We studied David and Goliath. All right? Saul and all of Israel should have fallen. Should have fallen to the Philistines. Which, of course, they did a few years later down the road. Okay? But he brought in David. A man who loved what? The Word of God. And he made a difference. All right? Daniel in the lion's den. All right? Good old Daniel got accused, thrown down in the lion's den. And the lions looked up and said, "Ah, Danwich. Get ready to have some nice food there." Poor guys, they didn't eat all night. Not a single bite. All right, why? Because God made a way. And as we talked a few weeks ago, he made the same thing with Paul. Okay? Daniel's three friends, thrown into the fiery furnace. All right? And you notice the furnace was seven times hotter than a furnace is supposed to be. And notice that all the guys that threw him in burned up. Not the three guys. God makes a way. And our hope is him. It has to be him. Let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15:20. Who's got 1 Corinthians 15:20? If we're going to have the God of hope, this is the starting point for hope.
Yeah, I guess I can. I'm at 15. All right. So now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept.
Repeat again.
1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept.
Yes. Amen. If we're going to start with the starting point where you start with hope, the hope starts with the fact that Christ rose again from the dead.
Amen.
That's the starting point. You start anywhere else, you're not going to be there.
Amen.
Our starting point has to be the fact that he rose again from the dead. And then from there, you can proceed on to the next points. Let's see. There's three purposes for hope. Three purposes for that hope that God gives to us in Christ. Who's got Galatians 2:20?
I'll do it.
And then we need to have someone find 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. I'll take that one. And then we need 1 Peter 3:15. Who's got 1 Peter 3:15? And we'll start with Galatians.
I got it. First year.
I got it.
You got it, Doug?
Jeremy had it.
Oh, a Baptist fight. I'm running. teasing.
You go ahead.
Wait, we're going to start with Johnny. Yeah. The first purpose for hope.
Okay. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
All right. I am crucified with Christ. Our hope starts with the resurrection of Christ. The first purpose of hope is for us to fellowship with the Lord. First and foremost, fellowshipping with him. Do you have a time frame every day where you get together and fellowship with the Lord? You can make your favorite beverage and have the, whether it's a cup of coffee, cup of tea, cup of cocoa, whatever, and commune with the Lord over the book. Fellowship with him. That's the first thing. If you're resurrected from the dead with him, you're going to be fellowshipping with him. We live according to his faith, not according to our faith. His faith is this book right here. Lord, show me your faith out of this book. Show me what you want me to do. Let's fellowship. All right, the second one is ministry. So we'll take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation. Not some. He comforts us where? All our tribulation. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. Comfort who? The other people. That's the ministry.
Yeah.
He comforts us when all the bad things we go through, so we can comfort the other group. Who's the other group? First of all, it's your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and then it's for the next group outside who's not saved. To comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you, is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you be also of the consolation. Ministry. No one escapes this life without going through some form of suffering, without going through some form of trouble, without going through afflictions. And you can't say, woe is me. If you should be fellowshipping with the Lord, I should be fellowshipping with the Lord. And if we commune with him, he allows troubles to come our way. Why? We look at it, oh, me. No. As I overcome that suffering, I can now help somebody else out.
Yes,
he's given me ministry to help someone else that he's going to put in my path.
Right.
Somebody he's going to put in your path. And you're going to say, oh, yeah, I know how to handle that. Here's what I did. Here's how the Lord helped me out. It's ministry, fellowship and ministry. And now for the third is witnessing. Who's got the last one? 1 Peter 3:15.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Amen. There's a real great nugget in here I wanted to share with you. Okay, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, what's fascinating, after you get saved, you become a saint. So believe it or not, you guys are looking at St. John. That's why I like the name of this church down on the corner. There's my sign, St. John, okay? I like, go find your own church, okay? Teasing, teasing.
I thought it was Bernard.
St. Bernard, right. So, but it says here, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify means to set apart. So I know it would sound strange if I said it was St. God. All right, but the word Satan means set apart. It also means to be holy.
Amen.
It means to hallow. But we have that Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means sanctified. Your name is sanctified. Your name is set apart. As you guys read through the Old Testament, look how many times God was upset with Israel because his name was not sanctified. And how his name kept being changed over to Baal. And being changed over something else. I underline those verses and meditate on them. God is very particular about his name. But I will tell you this out of Psalm 138, too. God is more particular about his word than about his name. He's more particular. He says, I magnify thy word above all thy name. His word is far more important. But here it says to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Jenny.
Reason he's probably more concerned about his word as opposed to his name. His word will never change, but he gets a new name eventually, and only we'll call him. Right? Jesus? Wasn't in heaven he's supposed to get a new name because everyone keeps cursing this one?
Well, we imply that's possibly why. We don't know why. God doesn't exactly say why, but it says that he'll have a name that no man knows.
Yeah.
That could be like one reason that
it's the word of God that defines the name of God. And if you turn it the other way around, I know pastors right now that have looked me in the face and said, John, God's name is more important than the book. And if you look at it, they don't have the book. Johnny.
I would conjecture, and maybe this is basically what was said already, but the reason why his word is greater than his name is because I meant to say, especially nowadays, there are a lot of people who use God's name, but because the word is totally different, it's like has been said in here before, false Jesuses.
Yes.
So Yeah, so that's why it's far more important to keep the words proper, or to have God's word be true, because if that's changed, then even if you know Jesus' name, it's not going to help you if you can't obey him or don't obey him.
I'm going to give you guys a Bible test. We will talk about it. Who can tell me what Bible verse this is and where it's located? Are you ready?
Ready.
Done this on a flyer for basketball.
At Joe.
Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
Okay, listen up here. Who can tell me where this verse is found in Scripture? I've got my eye on the goal. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back.
Hebrews.
No, according to this, it comes out of the Bible.
Oh, I run the race, I set my court up.
Huh?
What he say, probably. Set what? By Paul.
Philippians.
Yes, it's Philippians.
Pressing toward the mark.
Yeah.
I press toward the mark. All right. Two prizes, one for here and one for there. Okay. That came out of the Bible called The Message.
Or otherwise abbreviated as The Mess.
The Mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, Paul said, in the Greek, I press toward the mark. And what do they have here? I've got my eye on the goal.
Just for FYI, did you quote Psalm 138:2?
I did not quote it, I mentioned it, yes.
Okay. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Above all thy name, correct. But, see, once you change the book, you guys, you can throw any words in there. Any words. Now, they didn't have to call that a Bible verse. They could have just left it alone, and that would have been fine.
Right.
But here, they're saying it's the Word of God, and it's not. The one thing I wanted to share with you, the other thing, too, was we have Halloween. Halloween comes from two words, Hallow, Eve. Hallow. Hallowed be the name. Hallowed Eve. Sanctified Eve. Why? Because the next day is called All Saints Day. All Saints. Saints, so we get the word sanctified. So you see, the same concept is in the culture. Although I don't recommend Halloween to anyone here, okay? Let's take a look at Ezekiel 44:19. And then we'll zip here pretty quick. Ezekiel. I'll read that one for you. Okay. Start at verse 19. And when they go forth into the upper court, even unto the upper court to the people, they shall put off their garments. Let's talk about the priests, wherein they ministered, and laid them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Notice in there, there's two sets of garments. The word sanctified means to set apart. When the priests were wearing the priest's clothes, they could sanctify the people. But when they were done sanctified, they had to put on their regular street clothes. They could not sanctify them with their street clothes. When you and I are in our righteousness before the Lord and share the righteousness, people can be clothed with the righteousness of the Lord. But in our own self-righteousness, we cannot sanctify a single soul. And that's what I was trying to go for before. And one quick example for you would be David and Saul. Here's Goliath. You know, we're 9.5 feet tall there. And Saul goes ahead and puts his armor on David. And David did not go into battle with Saul's armor. He'd have been wiped out. He'd have been knocked off. And if you would have some fun, Saul's helmet was made out of brass. Brass is God's metal for judgment. Fascinating. David took off and said, I haven't proved it. You guys, the righteousness of Christ has to be proved in your own personal life. You have to read the book. You need to be in fellowship with the Lord and put on His righteousness. Don't put on my righteousness. It'll fail. Why is America backsliding, apostatizing? It's got the wrong righteousness. And the wrong righteousness will not protect you in the battle. And there's the battle for so many souls out there, and lives are being destroyed and falling apart. Our whole country is falling apart because it doesn't have the righteousness of Christ in it. That is what's happening. Okay. Now for the wrap-up of the verse. Okay? Okay, Romans 13.
13.
Okay. Now the God of hope fill you. We've already talked about that before in Ephesians chapter 5, 17 to 21. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Know what the Lord's will is. Be filled with the Spirit. What is the Spirit? The Word of God. Be filled with the Word of God. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. If you notice, joy and peace comes out of Galatians 5:22, because joy and peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. And what's missing there is love. And if you go to 1 John 4:19, we love Him because He first loved us. And when we love Him, we're free from sin, and now we can have the joy, and now we can have the peace. All right? Believing. Where are we supposed to believe? Romans 10:9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, thou shalt be saved. Believe that Christ rose again from the dead, going right back to our first point. What is hope? He rose again from the dead. That's the starting point for believing. And of course, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, again, says that believe on His name. Again, a connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to power. The power is connected to Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God. What's that? The indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And then last of all, we have Acts 1:8. And when we get saved, let's go to Acts 1:8 and then we'll close. Lord willing. And Acts 1:8 has to deal with witnessing, which we talked is one of the three things that's supposed to happen with hope. Supposed to have fellowship, ministry, and witnessing. Acts 1:8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the earth. Those are basically it right there. And that is basically it.
Amen.
Filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what hope is. Christ rose again from the dead. Start at that point and don't stray from it. In the 40 plus years I've been saved, that's what I've tried to do, in spite of all the suffering and afflictions I've gone through. I wrote a new song, guys, a new track I'm working on. Red and yellow, black and white. Critical theory is not right.
Amen.
Jesus still loves all the people in the world.
Amen.
Okay, let's have a word of prayer. And go ahead, Jeremy, if you'll have a close out with prayer.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time together. In your word, Lord, please help us to apply the things that we have learned. Thank you for this day, and please give us a beneficial fellowship with one another. In Jesus' name, we're
praying. Amen.
All right, our letters. See you in a short bit. Go get your tea.